God is doing some amazing things in Cambodia. Pray for Cambodia. Pray for Candy. Pray for these young adults that she is working with at the Bible school there in Phnom Penh. Because we look forward to the day when all of the nations of the world will gather around the throne as Jesus makes everything new and even better than it was at the beginning of time. And we will all bow before him, and we will sing and give him praise in Khmer, the language of Cambodia, and in English, and all these languages that we mentioned before. And that's why we have Candy here today, to remind us of this greater mission that we are part of. So I encourage you to be listening carefully. Write down in your mind or on a piece of paper or on this card things to pray for her and for others. Candy is a local. She's from the metropolis of Newville, Pennsylvania, which is over near Carlisle. And she happened to be attending an Alliance church after college, she told us the other night. And who knows who might drop in at this Alliance church, excuse me, and one day be serving the Lord in some far-flung part of the world. So, Candy, welcome. We look forward to God's ministry through you, and let's give her a welcome to Valley View Alliance Church.
I bring you greetings from Cambodia, from your Christian family in Cambodia. That's how they greet. And with COVID, this is probably a good way to greet your friends that you are meeting along the way. So I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever started a project that you never finished? Yeah, probably just about all of us. We all have good intentions when we start. We're going to do this, and then something happens. There's a problem, or our motivation drops, and it just doesn't get done. There are other projects that we actually start, and we're actually working on them, but they seem like they're taking forever, and you feel like you're never going to get done with this project. We had a project like that in Cambodia. When I returned to Cambodia in 2017, after my last home assignment, I returned to help start the Antioch Bible Institute, which is a training school to train young men and women in how to be disciples of Jesus and how to make disciples in the urban context, in the city. And so our school, of course, we needed a place to live and a place to have classes, and so we had plans for a dormitory to be built, a place for the students and the teachers to live together there. The team that was getting this school off the ground, we planned in 2017, starting in the fall, and the plan was that when I returned in 2017 and my teammates returned, that our dormitory would be built and it would be finished, or at least mostly finished, so that we could move in and start using it in September. Well, when I returned in 2017, this is what I came back to. Can I have the next slide? Yeah, so our dormitory was definitely unfinished and definitely unusable. So we had to start the school by renting another facility, another house, a three-story house that we rented for our students and for our teachers. We talked to the builder, and we were like, okay, like, we expected it to be done or almost done, so can you, like, work on it and get it done? And he's like, no problem. It will definitely be done for your next school year. Definitely will be done. So fall of 2018 rolled around, and next slide. There was our building after a year, still unfinished. And we're just like, ah. So we had to rent again for another year. And we talked to the builder again. He says, okay, I'll really get working on it now. It'll definitely be done by your next school year, next fall. And I'm like, okay, we're all okay. So the next year came around, 2019. And can I get the next slide? There is our building, still unfinished. Okay, Granted, there's a lot more progress on it at this point than there was previously, but like this is going on like 3 years now with this building, and yeah, it's frustrating. The students and the teachers were anxious to get in the building. We really didn't want to rent another year, so we actually, in October, three of the teacher families and all of our students moved into the building, even though it wasn't finished, with the idea of we'll live there, and because we're living there, we'll put more pressure on the builder to get this building done. So not an easy thing for those that live there. I didn't get a chance to live there because my apartment was like not even livable. But there was a small section of the school that was, and so those that could moved in, and they lived with the sound of drilling and hammering and all the other challenges that come with living on an active construction site. So unfinished. Can I get the next slide, please? Unfinished, just like Paul was mentioning, is the missions conference theme this year for the CMA. So I thought our unfinished building would be a really good segue into talking a little bit about this missions theme. And I don't know about you, but the word unfinished kind of makes me anxious. I don't like things unfinished. It just feels like this added extra stress. And all those projects that I've started that aren't finished are like back there poking me, saying, yeah, you need to get finished. And so I want to start with a word of encouragement, a promise from his word. And it's a Bible verse that you're probably familiar with, but it is a Bible verse that can encourage us because it is a promise from God. Can I get the next slide, please? It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. So basically, this is a promise from God that he is saying, I will finish the work that I have started in the world. God will complete his work. He promises that the work he's doing in us, he will finish. And the work that he's doing in the world, he will finish. Now, our different projects that are unfinished, there's no promise in the Bible that those will ever be finished. That's kind of up to us. But God promises that his work will be finished at some point in the future. But much of his work is still unfinished in the world. So today I want to talk about three of the unfinished parts of God's work and how we fit into that. The first unfinished part is unfinished journeys. Now, there are different journeys in life. The journey that we are most familiar with is our own personal life journey. And so just want to let you know, if you're still breathing, your journey is still unfinished, and God is still working in your life. We know that our life is not always easy. We have all sorts of challenges and issues that we have to deal with, family issues, health issues, work issues, kids issues, I don't know, all sorts of crazy things that come up. But the cool thing about the unfinished journey of our life is that we can invite God into that journey. We can invite God into the unfinished journey of our life. We can allow God to work in our life. We can allow God to lead and direct us. And as we follow his directions, we can bravely face the challenges that all come up in our life. And, you know, the really cool thing is that as we follow God and as he helps us face those challenges, he does something in us and we become more and more like him. And so it's kind of cool that we can invite God into our journey. And it's actually encouraging when you get put on quarantine like Terry and Paul were recently. When you're on quarantine, you feel all alone, like just isolated from everybody. But you're really not, because you can invite Jesus into that quarantine journey as well. And he can give you direction. Now, there's also an unfinished journey for the church. Each and every church has its own particular journey, its own unique challenges that it faces, its own places where God wants to grow the church, both spiritually and numerically. And you can see this unfinished journey for the early church in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the early church in Jerusalem is a church that oftentimes we lift up as the model church. We say, this is how church should be. We should do things the way they did it. But sometimes we forget they were also on their own unfinished journey. They also had places within their church body that they needed to learn and to grow as well. And interestingly, they, as you read through the story of the early church, the times that they grew were the times when they were facing challenges in their journey as a church. I want to look at, just want to mention one of the challenges that you find in Acts chapter 15, which talks about how the Jerusalem church, which was mostly composed of Jewish believers, they were suddenly presented with all these non-Jews coming to faith, and they had to figure out, how do we put these non-Jews into our Jewish church? And so they wrestled with a lot of things. They wrestled with issues of prejudice, and they wrestled with issues of discrimination. They also wrestled with the issue of salvation coming by following the rules, following the Jewish law. And it was very difficult for them. It was a challenge for them. But they, as a church, decided to invite God into that journey, into that challenge of how do we integrate these non-Jew believers. And we know that they invited God into their journey because in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So they were inviting the Holy Spirit into this challenge, into their discussions, and they were allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them and to grow them in their understanding of God, grow them in their understanding of other people, grow them in their understanding of the gospel. And they did grow. And they came to realize that God loves all people, that we are all saved by grace, no matter what our ethnicity. And so the early church embraced the Gentiles into their church, and they grew. They grew spiritually, and they grew numerically because they accepted God's leadership in their unfinished journey. Now I want to switch back to the unfinished journey of the Antioch Bible School's dormitory that I started with you. This was one of the big challenges with the startup of the school. There's many other challenges, but this was one, was the building project. There were so many problems with the building project that kept the project from moving forward, that made it slow. The first thing that we came to realize was that we had a builder who didn't want to follow the blueprints that we had given him. He had his own idea of how the building was going to be built. And so there was a lot of like butting of heads and like, no, this is what we want done right from the beginning. All throughout the project, we had problems getting enough workers to work on the building. And we found out probably a year into the project, one of the reasons that we weren't getting many workers was because the builder was not paying them. And so they were working, and it was time to be paid, and they weren't getting paid, and so then they would leave, and then who wants to work somewhere where there's no guarantee you're going to get paid? And so we had to work things out, and so then the mission started paying the workers instead of sending the money to the builder. Oh, sorry. I talk with my hands, so. So anyway, we finally got that figured out. But the other thing with our workers are, in Cambodia, when there's big construction sites, a lot of times the workers will live right on the construction site. And so most of them are not Christians, and so at night when they're off work, they're gambling, and they're drinking, and they're fighting, and I think we had the police there at least once because problems between the workers, and of course that's really helpful for a smooth, like, working relationship if they're not getting along at night. We also had one of our workers die overnight in his sleep at the construction site, and for Cambodians, that's a big deal, because that meant that his ghost would haunt that construction site. And so that was it. Like, you know, you, any of the workers that were particularly superstitious, that was it. They were not working there anymore because his ghost was going to haunt that construction site. We also found out towards the end of our project that our builder was borrowing money from our project to pay for another project that he was involved with. And Not in a way that he was trying to embezzle, but he just wasn't very good with organizing or keeping track of his money. But when it came back to our project, to finish our project, he couldn't pay us back. And so we had to do a little more fundraising towards the end of the project. And then finally, we did end up getting another builder to try to finish our building. So I don't know if any of you have ever been involved with building projects, but it's stressful. And this whole journey was very stressful for us. I wasn't even on the building committee, and I was stressed out about it. But we as a school, were inviting God into that journey, and we were praying. We were praying for God's direction and wisdom and how to move the project forward, but we were also praying about how do we relate to the people connected to the building project? How do we relate to this builder? How do we relate to these unbelieving workers? And in the midst of this whole craziness, in the midst of the difficulties, God did something we didn't expect. He invited us into the unfinished stories of others. And this is the second unfinished, the unfinished stories of others. God invited us to not just think about our problems and difficulties, but to join him in the stories of others, join him in working in the lives of the people connected with the building project. So we took him up on his invitation. We began to reach out to the folks that were surrounding and were participating in the building project. So first, we invite God into our own personal unfinished journey. And then secondly, God invites us into the unfinished stories of others. So I want to just share with you a couple unfinished stories of some folks that were connected with the school and the building. I'll start with one that's connected with the building project. This is a story of Lok Prasa. Can I get the next slide, please? Prasa is a 50-ish sort of guy. I don't know how old he is. I guess I should have asked. But he's a 50-year-old Buddhist guy. And he actually heard about Jesus when he was much younger, but really had no interest in following Jesus. He said his whole life, people had told him the same thing. They told him that all religions are the same, they're all good, and they all tell you to do good in order to save yourself. And so that's how he lived his life. He lived his life as a good Buddhist, trying to do good works. He would go to the Buddhist temple and give the offerings when he was supposed to. He would join in different ceremonies when he was supposed to, and he figured he was okay. About 16 years ago, Prasa was introduced to the CMA Christian community when he was invited to build a few buildings for us as a mission and as a CMA church community. He was actually hired by one of our international workers. Can I get the next slide, please? Her name is Christine Manfred. She's the one that usually oversees our construction project. So yes, it's kind of crazy. It's a woman, but she does great. She's great with design and can picture things before they're built. And so she's great at that. So anyway, Chris, she hired Prasa to help build a couple of things for us. He actually built the mission office for us, the CMA mission office. He built the CMA guest house for us. And he built one of the CMA churches in the capital, Phnom Penh, where the school was also located. And so over those years when Chris was working with Prasa, she, of course, was sharing Jesus with him through her experience. And Chris is very much a prayer warrior, so she prays about everything. So she would make him stop and pray with her about different things, aspects of the different projects. And so he knew about Jesus, he knew about prayer, but there was really no real response during those projects. Then in 2017, Prasa, he found himself without work. He didn't have any projects going on, and he really needed some work. And so he said, I just wish that Chris would call me and give me another project, because she had given him so many over the years. And then he thought a little bit more, and he says, well, she always prayed about things. He said, so maybe I'll give this prayer thing a try. And so he prayed. He prayed and asked that God would give him some work. And lo and behold, Chris called him. And Chris asked him if he would help us with our Antioch building. Now, he is not the builder that I've been talking about, but we hired him as, I call it the quality control guy, but I was talking to a builder at another church, and he said, I guess you'd call it the superintendent, who kind of oversees everything, makes sure everything's done right. Not an easy job with our particular project, because the builder didn't want to follow the blueprint, so they were always fighting, those two guys. But he was happy for the work, and so he came in and came to work on our building as well. Now, our building is actually located on the same property as the mission office, the CMA mission office, and also the same property as the National Church office. The Cambodian National Church office is there as well. And actually, the national president, the Cambodian president of the CMA there, lives right on the property as well. And so every day, Prasad is coming to work. He's starting to interact with not only Chris as the only Christian that he's interacting with, but like all these other people around. There's a bunch of international workers there because our office is there. There's the Cambodian church president and other folks that are coming in for meetings. He's interacting with our missions, our office staff, and our day guard, who is a strong Christian and very evangelistic. So every day he's interacting with all these folks. And at first he didn't seem interested in following Jesus, but he began to see towards the end of 2018 like a change in his heart, a softening, and like listening more to what people were sharing with him. And he started to say things like, "I believe, but not 100%. I think I believe what you're saying, but not 100%. Until finally, in December of 2018, he had a conversation with one of the Christian workers from our CMA mission office. And this is what this young man said to him. He said to Prasad, he said, "You keep saying you believe, you believe, you believe, but you never receive." He said, "Now, if you're sick and there is medicine that could cure you, but you don't take it, you just lay there in bed and point to the medicine and say, 'I believe that can help me,' it's not going to do you any good. You need to take the medicine." He said, "So that's why you need to make the decision to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Begin to follow him." And that conversation was really pivotal in his heart and helping him say, "Yes, I'm ready to cross the line. I'm ready to follow Jesus full 100%. And so on December 1st of 2018, Prasad gave his life to Christ. Can I get the next slide, please? And Prasad is there, and in the middle is my field director, so he can look over my shoulder and make sure I'm doing a good job. And the other guy on the other side of him is actually the director of the Antioch Bible School. Well, Prasad, he was just so excited about his new faith. He's telling everybody. He began, sharing with everybody he knew, Christian or non-Christian, didn't matter to him. He was telling them what had happened to him and about his new faith. And he began to, of course, start with his family and then out to his neighbors and his friends. There were some neighbors of his that were having health issues, and he told them about Jesus, and he prayed for them, and they were healed. And through his evangelistic outlook, which he is still quite the passionate evangelist, several people came to faith in Jesus, including one of his daughters and one of his sons. But Prasad's story is still unfinished. Can I get the next slide? His wife has not yet come to faith, and he's very burdened for her and really wants her to come to faith in Jesus. And she also has another son who has not yet decided to follow Jesus as well. So he continues to pray and to reach out to them, as well as other folks that he knows. But his story's unfinished. Who knows what's going to come next and how many more people are going to come to faith through him. Now, God invited the Antioch Bible School into Prasad's unfinished story. And believe it or not, you were all a part of his story too. You may not have heard his name before today. I don't even know if you guys knew about our building project before today. But as you have been praying for Cambodia, as you've been giving to the Great Commission Fund, which supports all of us international workers, you've been supporting the work that's going on at the Antioch building, and you have had a part in his story as well. So I just want to thank you and bring my thanks from him as well for the part that you have played in his story and bringing Jesus into his story. Oh, and I forgot. When we needed to find another builder for our building project, who do you think we asked? So Prasad, can I get the next slide? Prasad actually was happy to become our builder. And this picture was taken the day I left Cambodia. I had to come back for home assignment on July 1st. And I ran into both these guys. And Prasad said, "Guess what?" He said, "I just finished the last little thing that I needed to do, and the building is finished. It's completely finished." And can I get the next slide? And it's a beautiful building. And so praise God, it's no longer unfinished. We have a great building to use, and God has worked in Prasad's life and graciously allowed us to be a part of that, and you as well. I want to take a few more minutes and share with you one more unfinished story. I want to share with you a story of one of our students, one of our first graduates from the Antioch Bible Institute. The Institute's only been open for 3 years, and so we've only had 6 graduates so far, but I want to share with you about one of them. Can I get the next slide? Her name is Juntu. Juntu. Juntu is a Khmer, which is the main people group in Cambodia. But her parents actually lived for a period of time in Vietnam for work reasons. But after they started having kids, they kind of made the decision that they wanted to raise their kids in Cambodia, so they came back to Cambodia. But there was still some extended family and such that were still in Vietnam. And praise God, when they came back to Cambodia, the entire family came to faith in Jesus. They happened to live not so far from a CMA church, and they all came to faith in Jesus. When Juntu was probably late teens, she went with her family back to Vietnam to visit their relatives and their Vietnamese friends that were there. And she said she didn't really remember a whole lot of Vietnamese, so communication was a little difficult for those that didn't know the Khmer language. But she said she was really struck with something on that trip. She was struck with the fact that her relatives and Vietnamese friends there didn't know Jesus. And she just was so burdened that she wanted to tell them about Jesus, but she didn't know how. Number one, she didn't have the language, the Vietnamese language, down. And number two, she didn't know how to tell them about Jesus. And so she came back from that trip with just this desire to reach out to her Vietnamese relatives and to the Vietnamese people in general. And she thought, well, I should go to Bible school to learn how to tell about Jesus. So she asked her parents about going to Bible school, and believe it or not, her parents said no. Now, the reason they said no is because it's a cultural thing. Because in Cambodia, when decisions are made, they're not made for what's best for that individual. They're made for what's best for the whole family. So at that particular time, their family was struggling, and Juntu had just gotten a really good job that was helpful in supporting the family, and particularly her younger siblings that were still in school. And so they said, no, we don't want you going to Bible school right now. Can you just continue working? And so she was a good Cambodian daughter, and she submitted to that and continued to do this job. And she also started to work in the church, ended up working with the youth in her local church, and really enjoyed that. But every couple of years or so, she'd ask her parents, can I go to Bible school? And they kept saying, no, no. And so she just really wanted to go to Bible school. So she just kept asking. Then in 2017, she heard about the Antioch Bible Institute that was opening, and she asked again, can I go to Bible school? And they finally said yes. By this point, she was 35 years old, so she waited quite a long time to come to school, and so she's a great, it's great to have students like her. Like, she's just so happy to be there. She's just a sponge, just sucking everything up, and those are the kind of students that are really fun to teach. Can I get the next slide, please? So Juntu is one of our first students. As part of our program, we have ministry groups where we take the students out into the community to practice what they're learning in the classroom. And Juntu was involved with one of the ministry groups along, we call it the railroad track community. It was a very poor community that kind of grew up around the railroad track with lots of social issues, very poor. There's drug and alcohol issues, lots of theft. There's all sorts of domestic violence sort of issues there, and but Juntu joined us there, and I remember when we went, one of the first times we went, she said to me, now, I don't like to work with kids. And the problem was, this community is like filled with kids. There's tons of kids everywhere. She's like, I don't want to work with kids. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what we can do. Maybe we can find some adults for you to disciple or some youth to work with. And, that's what I'm thinking. But as we started visiting, there was a problem because all the kids in the community loved her. Seriously, when we would go as a group, like, they'd all run to her. and they'd be telling her about what was going on in the community, and they want her to braid their hair or do whatever. And so over a period of time, those kids won her over. And the girl who didn't want to work with kids ended up helping us start a kids club, a kids ministry there in that community. And you see the kids are all over in the pictures. Towards the end of her second year, Chun Tu, because of her interest in the Vietnamese, joined what we were calling the Vietnamese team, which included some Antioch students who were interested in Vietnamese ministry, as well as some international workers. And we even had a missionary from Vietnam as part of that group too. And this group really wanted to start an outreach in a Vietnamese community that didn't have any witness for Jesus. And which, interestingly enough, the Vietnamese in Cambodia are our largest unreached people group. And we have quite a lot of Vietnamese in Phnom Penh. And so they began to look around for a place to do this outreach. I forgot to tell you the statistics of why they are an unreached group, because 0.17% of the Vietnamese in Cambodia are Christians. Not even 0.5%, we're like 0.17%. So really quite unreached. But in any case, this group, this Vietnamese team, they researched around. They found, I think, what their goal was to find the darkest and the most difficult community that they could find, because they found this community is very similar to the railroad track community, a lot of social issues. And this community also had a couple witch doctors that lived there. And so they picked this one community called Jat Ang Reng and began to do outreach there. And Chun Tu was a part of that outreach. Can I get the next slide? This is a picture of that community, very close together. This is actually the street, so no cars, but they motorbikes and bicycles and stuff can get down there. But they began to visit weekly, actually more than once a week. They were there a couple times a week, just making connections, getting to know people, and seeing openings where God was going to allow them to work. Can I get the next slide, please? And finally, Chun Tu graduated from Antioch in July of 2017. And the kids there that you see are actually kids from the railroad track community that wanted to be there for her graduation. So the girl that doesn't like to work with kids, they had kids coming. And one of them said to me, "I want to come to this school when I get older." So we'll see. We'll see. And for those of you that were here on Friday night, Meita is in the back, the girl I was talking about on Friday night, and so she wanted to be there as well for her graduation. So Chun Tu graduated in July. In September, she started studying the Vietnamese language because she still has a strong heart for the Vietnamese. In October, she finally found a job, and she found a job as a first grade teacher at a Vietnamese school. So a girl that doesn't like to work with kids. And I remember when she first got the job, she kept sending pictures on Messenger. "Look how cute they are." So she's won over to kids now. But she was actually teaching Khmer, the Cambodian national language, to the Vietnamese kids. And the kids love her, and the parents love her as well there. Then later in October, she, with the support of the Vietnamese team, actually moved into the community that they're doing outreach to. Can I get the next slide, please? And this is a picture of our house there in the middle. Not a big house, a big room in the bottom with a bathroom, and then another room upstairs. But right there in the community. And of course, the kids started showing up as soon as she was there. And hang out at her house. She says sometimes she just wants to kick them out. She wants some time to herself. But then she remembers what kind of families they're coming from, and she lets them stay. Developing deeper relationships with the people in the community, particularly the women. But it's not an easy place to be. Like I said, lots of social issues. She was telling me about how she gets fearful when her neighbors are fighting. She's afraid it's going to spill over to her because everybody lives close together. There was one night she said she had shut the gates already, locked her house up, and was in bed, and she heard a couple thieves outside the house talking about how they were going to steal her neighbor's motorbike. And she's like, I just laid really still. I just didn't want them to change their mind and come to my house. But not an easy place for a single woman to live, but she continues to be a light there. And her relationships have really deepened. Can be seen in, there was one issue that happened in the neighborhood. There was this is a Vietnamese community and she's a Khmer woman. There was a Vietnamese woman in the community that had a problem with Gen 2 and they were kind of in a disagreement. And in the end, all the women in the community sided with Gen 2 rather than this other Vietnamese woman. And so, and her biggest supporter was the wife of the witch doctor. So that shows you how her relationships are deepening. Here's this Khmer woman just welcomed into the Vietnamese community. And they, last I heard, the group has already started doing children's ministry out of her house. They're still, I haven't heard yet that they have started teaching or reaching, doing Bible teaching with any interested adults, but I suspect that there will be some of those women that she's created relationships with, that they'll start doing Bible stories with them as well. And so I don't know where this story is going to go. Her story is unfinished, and God can do most anything. But we're really excited with this outreach. Not an easy thing to do. They really need your prayers. So be praying for them, praying for Gen 2, single woman there by herself. But the team comes in and uses her house as kind of their base for reaching out into that community. And so she's just a picture of what we hope to see happen at the Antioch Bible School, having our students trained and then going out into the city and reaching those that don't know Jesus. So first, we invite God into our own unfinished journeys, and then God invites us into the journey, the unfinished stories of other people, and then thirdly, we join him in his unfinished mission. And I think you can probably guess what God's unfinished mission is. Can I get the next slide? I think I missed a few pictures. Another picture, Gen 2, and then the next one, please. So God's unfinished mission is the Great Commission that he gave to all of his disciples, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And we can join him in that. And you guys have already joined him in the stories of Persan and in the story of Gen 2 through your giving to the Great Commission Fund and through your praying. But there, of course, are many, many others. God's mission is still unfinished. And there are many different ways that you can join God's mission. You can join God's mission here in this area as well as overseas. But I just want to mention three ways you can join in God's unfinished mission in Cambodia. And these are the three things you always hear when the missionary comes. So it's not going to be a surprise to you. First way you can join is by praying. And just can't emphasize that one enough. That really is so, so important. You can pray for Prasa. You can pray for Gen 2 in this community. Please pray for the Antioch Bible School. We are low in numbers of students and pray that God will raise up more young people with a heart for the city and would bring them to us. And like Pastor said, you can grab a prayer card on your way out, if you'd like. There's a blog site in there. When I'm in Cambodia, I send my prayer requests and praises on through that blog site. Second way that you can join God's unfinished mission is by giving. And I know that as a church, you guys give to the Great Commission Fund, which is the fund that supports all international workers. So I thank you for that and just would encourage you to give there and keep giving. And we'll thank you for giving. Because you gave, we were able to get another international worker couple this summer that arrived in, when did they arrive? In August. And they were going to be working, once they finished language study, they're going to be working with one of our Islamic groups, our Muslim groups. And we don't have any workers working with them at this point. So we're really excited to have them. And all because you guys give to the Great Commission Fund. And thirdly, you can join in God's unfinished mission by going. You're more than welcome to come. We got this nice building. You'll have a nice place to stay. The Alliance Guest House is right next door if you prefer a little more pampered. But there's places for you to stay. Please please consider it. You can come and help teach English and computer. We're going to be starting English and computer program in January. Or if you feel like God's touching your heart and asking you to come long term, we would love that. Your impact is multiplied if you're there longer term as compared to the short term. But know that you are invited and welcome to come. So God is inviting us to join him in his unfinished mission and by praying, by giving, by going. And maybe you're already doing those things, and that's great, and I thank you for that. But maybe God wants you to do something a little more, go a little deeper with him in one of those areas. And so I hope that you're sensitive to his voice and to what he's saying to you today. I just want to finish with a quote from A.B. Simpson, who is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And this is what A.B. Simpson had said. We need to finish our unfinished work. We need to do the things that we have thought of doing, intended to do, talked about doing, and are abundantly able to do. So let's join God today in finishing his unfinished mission. Let me pray for you as we finish. Father God, we just thank you that you are the great and amazing God, that you have a great work that is going on all over the world, in Cambodia and even here in this area, Lord. But your mission is yet unfinished. Your work is yet unfinished, and you are inviting us to be a part of it. So I pray that you would help us to hear your voice, to know what ways we can get involved, both here in our local communities, Lord, but also around the world, in ways that we can join and support the work that you are doing. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember that we can invite you into our own journeys or into our own lives, that we can listen to you and follow you as we face the challenges in our lives as well. And open our eyes, Lord, not only to the needs overseas, but also the folks around us, because there are many unfinished stories of people around us, and perhaps you're calling us to join in those people's lives as well. So, Lord, give us ears to hear what you are saying, and we give you praise and thanks that one day all this work will be finished. And we pray this in Jesus' name.